One of my joys each year is going over to the grade school to visit the second graders each week and help prepare them to receive First Penance and First Holy Communion. The year starts off with who is God and, of course, the Trinity. So I was asking the class, who can tell me what is the Holy Trinity? So this one little boy was very enthusiastic, waving his hand, and little did I know he had a little bit of a speech impediment. So he said, the Holy Trinity is three divine persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said, well, I don't think I understood you. And he said, you aren't supposed to. The teacher said that's a mystery. So it is. The Holy Trinity is the fundamental mystery of our faith. Mystery meaning this is a truth that has been revealed by God himself, but poor, weak human beings that we are, bound in time and space and limited by our language, are never going to be able to fully understand the Holy Trinity. Nevertheless, on this Trinity Sunday, we affirm our belief in one God who has been revealed as three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together, they are fully, perfectly, and completely God. Individually, they're fully, completely, and perfectly God, fully sharing the divine nature. They are not created, they are eternal. And this is important, that we don't believe in like three mutations of God or three gods. Rather, the Father, from all eternity, has begotten his Son, not created. And the Father and the Son, from all eternity, have spirated. That's the technical term. That's like breathed forth the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Father and Son, not, again, created. We do give to them appropriate distinction. The Father, the Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier. But really, they work always together as one God. So for this reason, whenever we begin our prayers or end them, we make the sign of the cross, invoking the Holy Trinity. Even here at Mass, we pray, directing those prayers to the Father, but then always concluding, through our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, and through the Holy Spirit in union with him, and so on. We just sang the Gloria, a beautiful hymn of praise to the Holy Trinity. So why do we believe this? Because God has revealed it. You and I could not conjure it up in our own minds. Rather, God has revealed himself as Trinity. So going back to the Old Testament, we have implicitly this revelation. In the beginning, Genesis, God the Father spoke, creating, let there be light. He spoke through his word, capital W, and with his wisdom, capital W. That word and wisdom is Jesus, the Word. This is why in the Creed we say we believe in Jesus, through whom all things were created. So the Father speaks through his divine word and wisdom, putting forth creation in a very orderly, purposeful, and designed way. The Holy Spirit hovered above this creation, breathing life into it. So implicitly, a revelation of the Trinity. When it comes time, then, having gone through the days of creation to the creation of us, man and woman, God says, let us, not let me, let us make man in our, not my, our own image. Plural, because of the Trinity. We heard in our first passage how Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. He's in the presence of God. The Father speaks to him his word and gives the Ten Commandments. This cloud filled with fire and lightning and smoke comes down upon Mount Sinai, always seen as the presence of the Spirit of God. Remember last Sunday, Pentecost, we had the Holy Spirit coming down in fire. So in the Old Testament, implicitly, we have the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Spirit. In the New Testament, this becomes fully revealed. We hear in our gospel passage today how God so loved, he gave his only Son. So the Father sent his Son, Jesus, into this world. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, true God, became also true man. As St. John wrote in his Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with eternal truth and grace. But then at the baptism scene, and even at the Transfiguration, the Trinity is revealed. There's Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, or at the Transfiguration, a cloud. But the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." At the Last Supper, Jesus addresses his apostles, but he tells them, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you hear me, you've heard the Father." Now, the Father's in heaven, but Jesus is there. And Jesus says that he will ask the Father to pour forth the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the enlightener, the advocate. And so it happens. At the Ascension, Jesus says to the apostles, "Go out and baptize in the name," not the names, "the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So in all, albeit briefly, in the New Testament, we have, through Christ, the fullness of the revelation of the Trinity. So how could we better try to grasp it? Well, let's go to Saunders' Simple Theology. So, God is love. That's what St. John states. God is perfect, eternal love. Well, love is faithful. Love is also self-giving. Love always seeks expression. So from all eternity, the Father perfectly expresses himself fully and completely in the Son. The Son reflects back perfectly, completely, fully that expression. They're bound together eternally in this infinite love. It's like they breathe to each other this perfect love. Well, that breath of love proceeds, it spirates, and we have the Holy Spirit, the personification of that love. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Father and Son. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three divine persons. Now, this is our faith. Granted, again, we're never fully going to be able to comprehend this, and some saints have written volumes about the Trinity, but the key is to embrace God in love. There's the key. Because just like the Trinity is a community of three divine persons, one God, and there's this relationship in love, we're called to enter into that relationship. We're called to enter into that sense of community through love. This begins with our baptism. So yes, each of us is made in God's image and likeness, but by the saving action of our Redeemer, at baptism, we receive sanctifying grace. It's like God breathes the life of the Trinity into us. We have this indwelling presence of the life and love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're recreated. So right there is this beautiful relationship between us and God. Never forget, then, that each of us here is purposefully willed by God. Each of us has a part in God's plan, no matter who we are, no matter what our talents and gifts. God has breathed into us not just the physical life, we could say, but that life of grace. Therefore, as Christians, we reject today that self-idolatry where some people think, well, I will create me in my own image and likeness of God. I don't like who I am. I'll recreate me. I heard that Facebook has 58 different gender classifications. Figure that one out. You know, God made us simply male, female, in his image and likeness, and gave us life. We should rejoice in that. But then, two, because of the community we have with God and that relationship with love, that overflows because we're part of a church. And we could even say we're part of a society. So we not only love God, we love neighbor as ourselves. So for this reason, as Christians, we do hold that life is sacred from conception to natural death. We hold that life is precious, even for those who are the sick, the disabled, the unborn, the elderly. We reject the self-idolatry of today that says, well, this person no longer has value. This person is no longer useful. This person is a burden. And therefore, I decide to eliminate the person. We reject that. Life is a precious gift, and we're bound in that community. This is perfectly, we could say, revealed in marriage. When we think of marriage, we have two distinct individuals, a man and a woman, each made in God's image and likeness, and in marriage, in union with God, they come together. In those vows, they express the love of the Trinity, faithful, self-giving, life-giving, permanent love. And they're male and female. So together, made in God's image and likeness, they bring that image and likeness to completion, to perfection in a way. This love is so good that it may even overflow in the creation of a child. How beautiful that is. That a couple, as husband and wife, can bring forth miraculously a precious gift we call a child. And that family then becomes a reflection of the Trinity. My brothers and sisters, consider this. You know, it's one thing to be able to explain and teach faith, but when we live that faith, especially when we live it in our homes, that's how people will know the love of God. That's why marriage and the family are so important for handing on the faith. That's where children see the love of God. But then we think then we have to reject the self-idolatry that says, well, let's redefine marriage, or let's create children in laboratories, or let's take the conjugal love of marriage that's so beautiful and sacred and reduce it simply into sex, recreational, irresponsible sex. We reject that because of the love of the Trinity. So put it all together. We're called then to enter into the relationship of love with a God who has poured forth his love to us. Last weekend in Manchester, England, there was a concert. It was called the One Love Concert in the wake of the violent acts that occurred in Manchester as well as London. There were 50,000 people there, and I thought to myself, if you did like a statistical random sample and you asked those participants, what is love? What is this one love that we're talking about? You'd probably have as many different answers. And that's a problem in our world today. Because even some of those terrorists would tell you what they did was out of love for their God. Crazy. Instead, it's the love of the Trinity that allows us to see the goodness of God and to see that his love will conquer sin and evil. His love will allow us to overcome fear. His love will give us life, not just now, but in heaven. That's the beauty of the Holy Trinity. Embrace it. Ponder it. Fall in love with God. May God bless you.